welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today, Donald Perkins continues his verse-by-verse study of the book of Revelation. And then a little later, Marvin McIlvaney will have a Bible in the News report looking at the latest findings on the ancient Shroud of Turin. Stay up to date with the latest headlines with our Prophecy in the News magazine and weekly television program. Subscribe to the Prophecy in the News magazine for the latest insight and analysis of the world around us. And then tune in to the Prophecy in the News television program to stay informed, be encouraged, and deepen your understanding of God's Word. Prophecy in the News magazine and television program. Learn more when you visit our website, swrc.com. I want to send a special thank you to everyone who is giving a gift this week. We need to hear from you right now. Your support allows us to produce these programs and publications. You can give today. Simply call 1-800-652-1144, or you can donate online, swrc.com. Time to open our Bibles to the book of Revelation as we once again join Donald Perkins in his study of this often misunderstood book.
Who are the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11? We're continuing our series, Understanding the Book of Revelation, part 27. Last week, we began looking at chapter 11. The first three verses, we looked at the actual temple. The Bible talks about this third temple or this tribulation temple that will come on the scene, that would be during the time of the tribulation. It is that very third temple that the Antichrist will desecrate. He will even sit in the temple as a god and be worshipped. But you know, the Bible goes on, starting at verses 3 through 13, to give us a little more insight as to what's going to happen during that time. And in those verses that we're going to look at, two witnesses of God, two prophets of God, two holy men of God that God will bring on the scene to agitate the kingdom of the Antichrist. Now, what I want to do to start it off, I'm going to read the entire text, Revelation 11, verses 3 through 13, and then I'm going to come back and give some commentary. But again, this is just amazing reading. John wrote, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceed out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut up heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them." Verse 8, "And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put into graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and shall make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell upon the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God enter into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascend up to heaven in a cloud. And their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake. And a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven." Now, I read all of that because, again, verses 3 through 13 is so powerful in regard regards to the ministry of these two witnesses. God is going to raise these two prophets up, and they will be here during the time of tribulation. We're going to find out in a little bit as to who they could be. But again, this is some amazing, amazing text. So what I want to do now, I want to go back to the text. I'm going to start at verse 3, and I just want to begin to bring out certain key things as we go forward looking at it. So we're going to pick up again in verse number 3. John wrote, "And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth." In this verse here, a few verses here, the Bible lets us know that these two prophets, that they're going to come on the scene and they're going to prophesy for 1,260 days. They will be clothed in sackcloth, which is the prophet's garment, I like to call it. These two prophets, they're going to prophesy, and they're going to be speaking during the time of the Great Tribulation. The verse calls them the two olive trees, the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now, I'm going to give you a verse in a few minutes that's going to actually really give this a little more content when I read the verse from Zechariah talking about these two witnesses. Look at what it says. "And if any man will hurt them, fire will proceed out of their mouth and devour their enemies." So if somebody hurt these two witnesses during the tribulation, the Bible tells us here that they will have the ability to have fire to proceed out of their mouths, and they will hurt and even kill men that hurt them. That if any man will hurt them, they must in that manner be killed. Again, these two witnesses going to be some supernatural fellas, some supernatural guys. God's going to use them, supernatural prophets, to vex the kingdom of the Antichrist. In verse 6, the Bible says that they will have power. They will have the ability to shut up the heavens. They're going to cause rain to shut up in the heavens, which will cause drought during that time. During their ministry, they're going to shut it up just like the Old Testament prophets did of old. They will also have the ability to turn the waters into blood at will. Again, these are supernatural prophets of God. They're going to do things that this generation will be blown away as they see these things come to pass. They will also have the ability to smite the earth with all types of plagues at will. They're going to bring plagues upon mankind. God is going to use these two prophets. They will literally judge the enemies of God during the time of the Great Tribulation. Those people who have rejected Christ at that time, they will be judged by these two prophets. God's going to use them to judge them. And then the Bible says here that they will also, you know, when they are done ministry, that they will literally die. The Bible said that these two prophets will be killed. And you know what's amazing about this to me is that in verses 8 and 9, the Bible tells us here that when these two prophets are dead, that their bodies will lie in the streets of the city. You know, the people at this time, they're going to be so glad that these two prophets are dead that they won't even suffer their bodies to be buried. They're going to be just excited that these two prophets that vexed them are now dead. So I want to pick up again in verse 8, 9. It says here, "Their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Gomorrah, where also our Lord was crucified." Here it's talking about in the streets of Jerusalem. These prophets' bodies will lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days, and the people won't even bury them. For those days, I mean, they're going to be just looking at them, rejoicing on them. These prophets, these two men, they vexed us. These two men, they shut the heavens up that it won't rain. They caused fire to come upon us. I mean, they did all kind of things. And now the people of the tribulation, the rebels of the tribulation at this time, they're going to be so happy that these two prophets were killed. But you know something? They won't have the last laugh, because again, God will allow this. God's going to do something that's going to be so supernatural that's going to literally affect these people of the Great Tribulation. Now, in verse 10 and 11, it goes on to say here, "And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets that tormented them that dwell upon the earth are now killed." Now, what's going to happen? Not only will they be happy and rejoicing, over the death of these prophets. But they're going to rejoice and they're going to literally pass gifts. I say it like this. They're going to pass gifts like they're giving gifts at Christmas time, because they're going to be so happy that the two prophets that vexed them have now ceased in tormenting them. They're going to pass gifts one to another because these prophets tormented and vexed them. You know, I shared early on in the series, looking at the tribulation, this whole tribulation time, again, Jesus said it's going to be a time this world has never seen nor never ever will see again. God will allow all different types of supernatural events and things to come in and out of the tribulation that's going to vex mankind, that's going to torment men. I'm going to give a warning right now. If you're not born again today, I want to say you need to receive Christ today. You need to give your life to Jesus, because if not, you may find yourself on the other side of the rapture of the church, and you may find yourself in the tribulation being tormented and vexed by these two prophets. Now, the latter part of this verse is so amazing here, though, because as I shared earlier, the people that will rejoice over the dead bodies of these prophets, they won't have the last laugh, because God will always have the last laugh. The scripture says in the latter part of the verse, it says, and after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God will enter into them. And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them that saw them. So on the 3 and a half day of these people allowing these two prophets' dead bodies to lie in the streets of Jerusalem, the Bible says on that 3 and a half day, the spirit of life from heaven will enter back into these two prophets. And what's going to happen at that time? The two prophets of God, they're going to stand up to their feet as the life of God goes back in them. And can you imagine? The scripture says here, great fear will fall upon them. I can imagine that fear will fall upon them when you see two men who were dead now are standing up alive. And again, what's so amazing here, what's going to happen here in verses 12 and 13, the Bible goes on to tell us that once they stand to their feet, that God is going to do something. So I'm going to pick up at verse number 12. John wrote, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, unto the two prophets, come up hither. Literally, the voice of God will literally call the two prophets of God up to heaven. Come up hither. And they ascend up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake. Now, before I talk about earthquake, I want to just mention here. Here in Revelation chapter 11, it talks about when these two prophets have finished their ministry, God will allow them to die. He will allow their bodies to lie in the streets of Jerusalem for 3 and a half days. But on the 3 and a half day, the spirit of life will enter into them. And guess what? The two prophets will be raptured. They will be caught up to heaven. In the middle of the tribulation, these two prophets will be caught up into heaven. God will cause them to go up into heaven, and great fear will fall upon those of the great tribulation. But not only that, the Bible says in the very same hour as these two prophets are taken up, the scripture goes on to say that God will allow a great earthquake to come upon the earth at that time. Come upon the city. And what's going to happen, the Bible says, it's going to be a great earthquake so large that a tenth part of the city will fall. And as a result of this great earthquake, the Bible says here that 7,000 men will literally die. God's going to judge those rebels, those rebellious ones who have turned against God, those who hate God during the time of the tribulation, those who will be vexed by the ministry of these two prophets. And the scripture says 7,000 men will literally lose their life. But then it says at the latter part of verse 13, it says, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. What an amazing event. You know, I would love to see a movie produced and made by just Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 through 13, and just to see these two prophets of God and how God's going to use them to vex the Antichrist and his kingdom during this time. Again, what an amazing event that the book of Revelation reveals. Now, I want to give you another verse that I alluded to, found in the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verses 11 through 14. The prophet Zechariah actually talked about the two witnesses. So I want to read the account here. It's found in Zechariah 4, verses 11 through 14. The prophet Zechariah wrote this, "Then answered I and said unto him, What are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth." Zechariah here in chapter 4, Zechariah is talking about the two witnesses that John reveals in Revelation chapter 11. Here, the Bible calls them the two olive trees that stand by the candlestick. From them, the Bible said that the golden oil comes out or empties out of them. The latter part of verse 14 calls them the two anointed ones. We worship Jesus Christ, who is alive forevermore in heaven. We don't worship a dead saint. I want to say to you, you know, Father Abraham, today he can't do anything for me. Mother Mary can't do anything for me. She's dead. The only person who can do anything for me is Jesus in heaven. The Bible says we have the man, Christ Jesus, in heaven. So again, I give you all this to say this. I believe that Moses is disqualified from being the prophet that would be one of the prophets during the time of the Great Tribulation because he died. It totally disqualified him. God buried him so he would not be worshiped. Now, I want to quote here from Dr. Jack Van Impe from his book, The Revelation Reveal. And listen what he's going to say about the witnesses. And again, I love what he's going to say. He said, "There has been a great deal of discussion concerning the identity of these two witnesses. Most Bible scholars believe they are either Elijah and Moses or Elijah and Enoch. Malachi is explicit in predicting Elijah's future appearance upon the earth. He states, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." Malachi 3:1. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Malachi 4:5, "Thus there is no doubt about Elijah being one of the witnesses." Now, I believe that Elijah is one of the witnesses. Again, God, we know the story. God, he was caught up, you know, in a chariot of fire. This man, this prophet never died, but he did brought famines. I mean, he judged the people of his day. And I believe that Elijah will be one of the prophets of old. Now, I'm going to quote the latter part of this quote, and then I'm going to have to bring it to a close here, and we're going to continue this next week. But Dr. Van Impe goes on to say, "The prediction is confirmed by the fact that Elijah did not die a physical death, but was taken up into heaven by a whirlwind and a chariot of fire." 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. "Likewise, Enoch was taken to heaven without experiencing death." You can see Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, and Hebrews 11, 5. "He also prophesied the coming of the day God's judgment and the return of Christ with his church." This is Jude chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. "Since Enoch's earthly ministry predated the establishment of the Jewish race, he is considered by some as being God's first prophet to the Gentiles." I love that. "Elijah, on the other hand, was God's prophet to Israel. Thus, since God's witness during The tribulation hour is to both groups, the Jews and Gentiles. Many believe that these two witnesses will be Elijah and Enoch. And I believe that as well. Now, because of time, I'm going to have to pick up next week, and we're going to continue to identify who these two prophets are. But I like to close the program always by saying, if you don't know Jesus, if you don't know the Lord, today is the acceptable day. Today is the day where you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Listen, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Today, if you receive Jesus as your Savior, you'll have eternal life. And guess what? You won't be one of those ones left behind at the time of the rapture to face the time of the great tribulation. You won't face the ministry of these two prophets being a rebel of those who rebel against Christ during the time of tribulation. If you receive Christ today, you'll have life, eternal life. It is so simple. You receive him. Lord, I'm a sinner lost without you. And Lord, today I believe that you died on the cross and you rose from the dead to give me life. Simply receive Christ today and you will be saved and born again. Now, what we're going to do, we're going to continue looking at the identity of the two witnesses. We're going to pick up next week where we left off here, and we're going to look at these two prophets of God. I'm going to further give you some clarity as to who they are. Now, again, I believe that the two prophets will be Elijah and Enoch.
We'll continue our series going through the book of Revelation with Donald Perkins on future programs. Donald Perkins' series, Understanding the Book of Revelation, is now available. This 24-DVD set contains all 71 lessons going verse by verse studying the Book of Revelation. Order Understanding the Book of Revelation by Donald Perkins today. Simply call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. This study is an excellent resource for churches, Sunday school classes, small group studies, and homeschool Bible classes. 71 lessons on 24 DVDs. Understanding the Book of Revelation. 1-800-652-1144. The Shroud of Turin. There's been a study released claiming that the body image on the Shroud of Turin is best explained by a burst of radiation. With the details, here is Marvin McIlvaney.
The Bible speaks of men's hearts failing them for fear of what's coming on the world, where Jesus describes the end times. That's in Luke 21:26. In this verse, he explains that people will be overwhelmed by terror and the unsettling collapse of the natural order, as the powers of heaven shall be shaken. This impending fear and the instability of the heavens are signs of the great upheaval preceding the coming of the Son of Man. Certainly, due to the war in Ukraine, we've heard talk about World War III. Almost every week, Putin or someone in Putin's administration will say, "If the West wants a war, we'll give you one." Only a fool would not be terrified at the thought of thousands of missiles being launched. One fear the United States has is an EMP attack, an electromagnetic pulse. The pulse is a short burst of energy that can be extremely damaging to electronic devices by inducing harmful currents and voltages in them. It could shut down all our communications and leave us undefended, unprotected, and exposed. Gamma ray bursts are flashes of intense radiation in space that are often just seconds long. They were accidentally discovered in the 1960s by satellites built to monitor nuclear bomb explosions. Bursts of radiation are caused by cosmic and terrestrial events, most often involving powerful magnetic fields or the collapse of stellar objects. These events release electromagnetic energy in a concentrated, high-intensity flash. The Shroud of Turin consists of a linen cloth approximately 14 feet long by 3.5 feet wide, and it is one of the most studied relics in history. The shroud has a very faint image of a crucified man on it. At the present, there is no acceptable scientific explanation about how this image was formed. Many researchers who have studied the cloth have suggested that some type of radiation was involved in the image formation. Many people believe that the image on the shroud is that of Christ. This new report analyzes what AI, artificial intelligence, can determine from information in images of the shroud and their possible cause. A new examination of high-resolution photographs of the shroud concludes that the cloth's faint body image is best explained by a burst of radiation rather than by paint, scorch marks, or ordinary decay processes. Examination of the shroud under the blood marks shows there is no image there. In other words, the man was laid on the cloth sometime before the image was made. The overwhelming, up-to-date evidence actually points to it being authentic. Pollen grains on the cloth were found to be specific to Israel. Calcium carbonate soil found on the feet area is specific to the Jerusalem region. New dating methods, including wax dating, dates it to the 1st century AD. The only evidence it was a hoax was given by carbon daters in 1988, and after they finally released the data after having been taken to court, that evidence now has a statistical significance of 1%. That is, it has a 1 out of 100 chance it was dated correctly. Every AI analyst of the shroud confirms what everyone who has studied the shroud knows. With all of our technology today, this event caused an image beyond our ability to reproduce it. A man named David Rolfe has produced multiple films on the subject and offers a $1 million prize for anyone who can replicate the shroud's image using medieval methods, and no one has come forward. If you know how the image on the cloth was made, please step forward and collect your money.
To enhance and grow your understanding of Revelation, we have several resources. First, the book, No Uncertain Future, A Study Guide Commentary of Revelation by Dr. Larry Spargimino. The DVD, Revealing Revelation by J.R. Church, and Noah Hutchings' classic book, Revelation for Today. All three of these resources are available right now when you call 800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. No Uncertain Future, Revealing Revelation, and Revelation for Today. 1-800-652-1144. Don't miss out on any of the important topics and information that is shared on Watchmen on the Wall. Make sure you subscribe to our free email newsletter. Sign up today for the free email newsletter. Tomorrow, author Dennis Cuddy will be here to begin a brand new series examining how he believes the global crises shaking our world are not accidents. Be sure to tune in by downloading our free SWRC mobile app. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.